This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayera, and in Parshas Vayera, in chapter 18 and chapter 19, we have the story of the destruction of Sodom and a little description of what was wrong in Sodom. Our shir today is going to focus mostly on chapter 19, after the angels come to Lot, but before we do that, we have to give a little better description of what went wrong to Sodom, based on the Gemara and the Medrash. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Kof Zayin Amud Beis says that Anshe Sodom Ein Lohem Chelik Lo'olam Haba, that people of Sodom don't have a portion of the world to come. Shenemar, because it's written in Bereishis chapter 13, verse number 13, after Lot has chosen Sodom as his place of residence, the pasuk says, "V'anshei Sodom ro'im v'chatoim l'Hashem me'od," that the people of Sodom were wicked and sinful towards Hashem exceedingly. The Gemara there says that since it says ro'im v'chatoim, ro'im bo'olam hazeh v'chatoim lo'olam haba, that the people of Sodom are evil in this world and they are considered sinners in the world to come. Therefore, according to this opinion of the Mishnah, the people of Sodom don't have a portion in the world to come. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Koftes Amud Aleph, brings the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that Anshei Sodom Ein Lohem Chelik Lo'olam Haba, that the people of Sodom don't have a portion of the world to come. And the Gemara there explains, Tanu Rabbanon, Anshei Sodom Lo Nisgau El Bishvil Toivo Sheishpi Alem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that the people of Sodom only became haughty, only became the way they are because of all the goodness that Hashem gave them, meaning that there are lands that produces a lot of produce, a lot of bread, a lot of food, but they require other people in order to supply their other things that they need, for example, pots, pans, or animals. Then there are lands that can't grow their own foods, either because they have arid grounds, but nonetheless, they are able to buy the food from the other products that they produce, like pots and pans. They sell the pots and pans and they get money. And with that money, they buy food. So they require to have other people coming into their lands in order to sell food that they can't grow by themselves. The Gemara says that Sodom had all the goodness of the world, meaning that their land was fertile, that they could grow and be independent in the food production, and also they were independent in doing commerce with each other, that they could buy pots and pans locally from one another. They don't require to have people coming in from abroad, from different places, to bring them those supplies. Everything they needed, they could get from Sodom themselves. Therefore, explains the Marsha, Sodom decided to be isolated, to be independent, and make sure that nobody remembers where Sodom is, that nobody will be able to walk in and walk out of Sodom. Like that, they'll be able to keep their wealth all for themselves, and they won't have to share their wealth with wayfarers or with other people. They will keep that secret by themselves, that nobody will come to move into Sodom, nobody will come to know where Sodom is. Like that, they'll be able to keep their wealth to themselves. Since they were economically independent and also they had their own food, therefore they decided that they don't need any guest to come by, they don't need anybody to come there. And the Gemara says that they made certain rules to discourage people from coming into town. For example, the Gemara in Koftes Amud Beis says that they wouldn't allow anybody else from abroad to be invited for a wedding. And if anybody invited somebody from abroad from a wedding, the person that invited him, meaning the guy who made the invitation, was required to strip naked and give the clothes to the people of the town, meaning they embarrassed him publicly that he had to go around naked. The Gemara tells a story that Eliezer ben Avram came to that town, and the Medrash explains that the reason that Eliezer ben Avram came to town is because Sarah Imenu was worried about her brother Lot and wanted Eliezer to check up on him, and he was very hungry and nobody would give him any food. He saw that there is a wedding, there is a party going on, and he decided to go to that party uninvited. The person sitting next to him saw this as an opportunity to embarrass somebody, so he asked Eliezer ben Avraham, "Who is the one that invited you?" Eliezer ben Avraham knew about the rules that they have in Sdom. Therefore, Eliezer ben Avraham said that you are the one who invited me, meaning the person asking him who invited him is the person that invited him. That person, knowing that he didn't invite, but nonetheless he was afraid that if Eliezer persists in saying that he invited him, the people will believe him, meaning that the people in Sdom will believe Eliezer that this person invited him, and in consequence they are going to take off his clothes. Therefore, this person quickly went out of the party. Like that, he won't have to take his clothes off. The next person came to Eliezer ben Avraham and asked him, "Who invited you?" And Eliezer answered the same way that you invited me. And that person also left the party. And the Gemara says that every person next to him asked him who invited him. And Eliezer said to every person that you invited me, and everybody left the wedding. And Eliezer Avraham was left alone in that meal, and he was able to eat his fill. This rule that the people of Sdom made regarding the parties was only because they were afraid that if people come into town and they'll see the good life that they have, they'll see their wealth, they will come to move in and they will have to share their wealth, and they didn't want to share their wealth with other people. Another interesting thing that the Gemara says that the people of Sdom used to do is that they had two beds for guests. One was a very short bed and the other one was a very long bed. When a person came, they used to make him lay on the bed. The tall person, they used to give him the short bed, and the short person, they used to give him the long bed. For the tall person, when he lay down on the short bed, they used to cut off his foot, because they said they're doing him a kindness in order for him to be able to sleep comfortably in the bed. And the short person used to stretch out from all sides, even though that he screamed that he's in pain, they didn't care. And eventually the person either died or something happened to him that he wasn't able to leave. The Gemara continues and says that Eliezer ben Avraham, when he came there, as I mentioned, that Sarah had sent them, they brought those beds in front of him for him to lay down. He already knew what these people do. Therefore, Eliezer ben Avraham told them that after his mother died, he undertook a vow that he'll never sleep on any bed, and he slept on the floor, thereby circumventing them cutting his leg or stretching him out. And all their rules were made to prevent a person from coming and living. And the people of Sdom were specially devious regarding giving charity, meaning that they had a special rule that nobody is allowed to feed or give water to the poor. If somebody comes from out of town to collect money, you're not allowed to give him any food and you're not allowed to give him any water. Therefore, whenever somebody came to collect money, everybody gave them a nice sum of money, and on that money, on that coin, they wrote their name. The person who received charity was very happy that he got so much money. And normally, when a person gets so much money in the first day, he's going to think that the next day will be the same, and he's going to collect the next day more. Therefore, that person decided to stay in town. The only problem is that nobody was allowed to give him any food or water, so that person got weaker. The second day, the person collected just as much or even more. Then he decided again to stay longer, and you're already fasting 2 days without food and water. It came the third day, the person was already too weak to leave, and eventually the person died, and everybody at that time took their coin back, because since their coin was marked with everybody's name, everybody was able to take their coin back, and they thought that they got away with technically giving charity, since they gave the money to the poor, even though the poor never got to enjoy it, but the fact that they gave him money, in their warped mind, they gave charity to the poor. The Gemara tells a story what happened to a girl, and the Medrash identifies the girl as Paltis, the daughter of Lot, that once she saw a poor person, that he is very weak, is about to die, and she decided that she is going to feed him and going to give him water. Eventually, the people of town saw that this person is still collecting after all these days, and they were wondering how come he's not dead yet, meaning they were waiting to see when he's going to die in order to take back their coin. And they see that this person is still around collecting money after all this time. They eventually found out that the daughter of Lot is the one that fed him, in order to make an example out of her, that nobody should dare again to give food and water to the poor, they smeared her body with honey, and the beast came and attacked her, and she was crying in pain, and nobody saved her until she died. And that's what Rashi brings down on chapter 18, verse 21, where Hashem says, Erdono, let me go down the era and let me see, Haketzakoso aboy layoso, if like her scream that is coming to me, they actually did, Hashem decided to punish them because of what they did to Lot's daughter, because she gave charity. And Rashi explains that Chas v'Sholom, don't think that Hashem didn't know what is happening, that Hashem has to come down to see if they actually did what she's screaming. Clearly Hashem knew what she did, but Hashem is teaching us a lesson that when we judge somebody and we have a chance to see what really happened, then we have an obligation to go ourselves and see if they actually did this wrong or not. That you should not rely on witnesses when you could actually see for yourself. I'm bringing this idea that Dom instituted this warped laws, these crooked laws, in order to emphasize what the Ktsos HaChoshen brings down in his Hakdama to Sefer Shev Shmatzer, and he asks, why is Dom different than any other nations nowadays that don't do chesed? We have many people that don't do chesed. And also he asks, the immorality that happened is Dom, that they tried to commit immorality with the two angels, this actually happened by the story of Pileges Begivah regarding the Jews from the tribe of Benjamin. The story is in Shoftim, Judges, chapter 19, verse number 22, where this person is coming with his concubine and he wants a place to rest. Then he comes to the city of Givah and an elderly man gives him refuge. And while they are in the elderly man's house, there are people that surround his house and knock on the doors. They say, give us the man so we should have relations with this man. Meaning, give us the guest that you took in and we want to have relations with that man. The owner of the house comes out and says, please don't do any abominations with this man. I will give you my daughter, which is unmarried, and his concubine, and you could do with them whatever you wish, but don't do anything with the man. The people don't want to listen to this. The people don't want to listen to the owner of the house, and they try to break the door. This guest quickly takes his concubine and puts outside. And the pasuk says that they had immoral relations with her until morning, and when it came morning, she was found dead. Then we see that they acted exactly like the description that we have in our parsha regarding Sdom, and yet Hashem did not destroy Binyamin like he destroyed Sdom. Then the Ktsos HaChoshen is wondering what is the difference between this situation and that situation. The Ktsos explains that the reason is because it wasn't instituted as law. Sure, there were people that acted in a very perverted way, criminal way. They were very sinful, but that wasn't the law of the land. Once the judges make laws that are evil laws, that are laws that hurt the poor, that are laws that hurt other people, that is when Hashem interferes and Hashem destroys it. When people act in a bad way, Hashem doesn't destroy the whole place because of the people, but Sdom instituted this whole warped system legally, and that is why Hashem had to destroy it. On chapter 19, verse number 1, the pasuk says, "Vayovoyu shnei malachim sedoyma bo erev." The two angels came to Sdom at night. Veloit yoishev b'shar Sdom, and Loit is residing or is sitting at the gate of Sdom. Vayar Loit, loitsa, vayokom likrosom, and he got up towards them to meet them, vayishtachu apay marzo, and he bowed with his face to the ground, vayoymer, he says, hinenu adoinai, please my masters, suru no al beis avdechem, turn about, please, to the house of your slave, velinu, and spend the night, verachsu raglechem, and wash your feet, vishkamtem, then you'll be able to get up, valachtem ledarkechem, and then you'll be able to go on your own way, vayoymru, and the angel said, loy no, ki barachoyv nolin, we will sleep in the square. Vayivtzar bomoid, Lot begged them a lot, vayosiru elav, and they turned towards him, vayvoyol beisoy, and they came to his house, vayaslu amishta, and he made them a feast, umatzoy zofa, and he baked matzes, vayochelu, and they ate. The next pasuk says, terem ishkavu, before they went to lay down, the people of Zdom came and they wanted to cause them trouble. And the rest of the chapter describes how the angels got away and how they destroyed Zdom. But Rashi, in pasuk number 1, where it says that the two angels came, Rashi says that these are the same angels that came to Avraham Avinu, that they now came to Zdom. They were waiting for Avraham Avinu to negotiate with Hashem, after Avraham Avinu was unsuccessful in saving the people of Zdom, then the angels came to destroy Zdom. Rashi notes that the beginning of Parshas Vayera, on chapter 18, verse number 2, the angels are referred to Shloisho Anoshim, three men are coming. And here the angels are described as Malachim, as angels. Rashi gives two different answers. Rashi on his first answer says that since in chapter 18, verse number 1, there it's mentioned that Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu to visit him, because Avraham Avinu had the circumcision. That means that Hashem was present there. Then, even if angels come, the angels are considered merely as anoshim, as men, as regular people. But here, since we are referring only to Lot, therefore, the angels are considered like real angels. And in the second answer, Rashi says almost the same thing, that since there it's referring to the angels coming to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu was in such lofty level that the angels visited Avraham Avinu like normal men visit Avraham Avinu. Therefore, the angels are considered like men. But here we are referring to Sodom and to Lot. The angels usually don't come to visit Lot and don't come to Sodom. Therefore, here the angels are considered like real angels since they are infrequent towards Lot. Another beautiful answer I saw is that Lot saw them as angels. Because Lot saw them as angels, that is the only reason that Lot decided to invite them and come to his house and make a meal for them. But Avraham Avinu saw those people as men, even though they were regular men and Avraham Avinu was sick. Nonetheless, Avraham Avinu served them and did exemplary achnasa zorchin. Still, meaning that Lot only served these people because they are angels, but Avraham Avinu would serve them even though they are men. Had they shown themselves as men towards Lot, maybe Lot wouldn't have served them in the same way. Sefer Arvenachal adds to this idea and says that Lot realized that they were angels, and Lot realized that Gavriel was there. Lot realized that they are coming because the people of Zdom don't do chesed, because Lot knew what goes on in town. Lot was one of the judges, and Lot knew what was going on in town, and Lot never prevented it. But now that Lot saw that the angel Gavriel is there, and then Lot thought that maybe they are coming to destroy Zdom, Lot decided that maybe I could circumvent the destruction of Zdom by making them a meal and having them overnight. Like that, they'll be able to go in the morning and leave. That's why Lot says that once you stay here tonight and sleep over, like that you'll be able to leave tomorrow. Meaning, because he saw that there were angels and they're coming to destroy it, Lot thought that one act of chesed, kindness, that Lot will do towards those angels will prevent the whole destruction of Zdom. And Sefer Arvenachal says that in truth, if Lot would have been successful to give them a meal and have them stay overnight, then the city of Sdom would have been spared, Hashem would have delayed judgment on the city of Sdom. But since, in Pasuk number 4 says, Terem Ishkovon, before they went to lay down, the people of Sdom already started to attack them, that means that they couldn't make the act of Chesed completely. Once they couldn't make the act of Chesed completely, then the decree of Sdom had to continue. Therefore, the angels destroyed Sdom. But we could see that originally the angels were going to give them a reprieve because the angels agreed to stay overnight with Lot and then leave the next morning. That means that if Lot had been successful, the angels would have not destroyed Sdom. But since the people of Sdom came before Lot completed his act of Chesed, therefore the city of Sdom was destroyed. I wanted to use this Arve Nachal to answer the question that Rav Shlomo Kluger asks on Rashi on Pasuk number 29. Pasuk number 29 says, "Vayi b'shachas Elokim es ore hakikar," when Hashem destroyed the cities of the plain, "Vayizkor Elokim es Avram," Hashem remembered Avram, "Vayishalach es loit mitoich hafeicha," and Hashem sent out Loit from the upheaval, "Bapoiches orim asher yoshav ba'am Loit," when Hashem destroyed the cities that Loit lived there. Rashi asks a question, "Ma'us chirosu shel Avram?" It's written that Hashem remembered Avram Avinu, therefore he sent out Loit. So what's the connection between Avram Avinu and Lot? Rashi says, "Shoyo Loit yodeya shesoro ishto shel Avram." Lot knows really that Sarah Imenu is Avraham Avinu's wife, "Veshoma Shomar Avram b'Mitzrayim al Soro Achoisi," and Lot heard that Avraham Avinu is telling that his wife is really his sister, as it's written in chapter 12, verse number 9, "Veloy Gilo Hadavor Shayuchosolov," and he didn't tell anything to anybody because he had mercy on Avraham Avinu. "Defikach," therefore, "Chosa Kudush Baruch Hu Olof," Hashem had mercy on Lot. Meaning that Rashi is saying that Avraham Avinu, when he came to Mitzrayim on chapter 12, verse number 9, he is afraid that the Egyptians are going to kill him if they find out that Sarah Imenu is his wife, because they would want to marry Sarah Imenu. And Avraham Avinu asks Sarah to tell the Egyptians that she is his sister. Sarah Imenu tells the Egyptians that she is his sister, but nonetheless, Sarah gets taken to the house of Pharaoh, and Hashem miraculously saves her from Pharaoh. But the whole time, Lot knows that Sarah Imenu is Avraham Avinu's wife, and he doesn't disclose this to anybody, because Lot was afraid that if he is going to disclose that Sarah Imenu is the wife of Avraham Avinu, then they would kill Avraham Avinu. It ends up being that indirectly Lot had mercy on Avraham Avinu and he ended up not causing Avraham Avinu's death. Therefore, Hashem had mercy on Lot and he saved Lot because Lot had at one time wanted to save Avraham Avinu from death. So the pasuk says that Hashem remembered Avraham Avinu, meaning Hashem remembered that Avraham Avinu was alive because of Lot. Therefore, Hashem saved Lot from the destruction of Sdom. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger asks a question. We see in our parsha that Lot was very meticulous in making chesed, that when the angels come, he wants to do chesed, even though he knows that he is risking his life by doing this. Then why didn't Hashem remember the fact that Lot was always kind, that Lot always was involved in doing chesed? And we are going to give soon the answer that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger brings. But according to what we mentioned from the Arve Nachal, that the whole reason that Lot did this act of kindness is because Lot recognized that they are angels, and the angels are coming to destroy Sdom, and Lot wanted to circumvent that destruction by doing a special act of kindness to these angels, like that they won't be able to destroy Sdom, then we understand why we cannot use this expression of kindness as a saving factor for Lot, because Lot is not doing this act of kindness because he is a kind person and he believes that you should do kindness. He's doing this act of kindness because he knows that this kindness to these angels will save his beloved city of Sdom. But Lot himself maybe was not kind, because since Lot lived in this town and Lot was a judge in this town, then obviously Lot agreed with the views of the town. Then the act of kindness wasn't something that he normally did. Here he recognized the angels, therefore he did the act of kindness. That cannot be a saving factor for Lot, that he's doing this act of kindness only to save his town. Therefore, when Hashem remembers what Lot did, Hashem has to remember what he did previously by the story of Mitzrayim, that he did not disclose that Sara Imenu is the wife of Avraham Avinu. But the act of kindness that he did in Sdom, you cannot count that as an act of kindness for Lot, because that act of kindness was only designed to appease those angels, to cause the angels to change their mind. It wasn't an act of kindness per se. And that could also answer this question that Omer Forsham asked, that Lot here, after the people want to take these angels to commit an immoral act with them, Lot offers his daughters for the people of town to do with them what they please. Everybody is bothered what kind of father would do that, to give up his daughters for a moral act instead of people that you don't know. And Mefarshim tried to give different answers to explain what is wrong with Lot. But according to this Arvei Nachal, I wanted to say that we could understand why Lot was willing to give up on his daughters in favor of those angels. Because since, as we mentioned, Lot realized that they were angels, and Lot realized that these angels came to destroy Sdom, and Lot knows that they came to destroy Sdom because Sdom lacks chesed, and Lot knows also that if he performs an act of kindness to those angels, that act of kindness will prevent them from destroying Sdom. Lot wants to make sure that he completes that act of kindness and saves Sdom. Now that the people come and they try to spoil that act of kindness because they don't allow these angels to stay overnight, now Lot is willing to give up his daughters for the saving of Sdom, because Lot knows that it's pikuach nefesh for the people of Sdom, because if Sdom is destroyed, Lot right now thinks that he is going to be destroyed together with the people of Sdom. Therefore, Lot is willing to give up his daughters in order to save his town. Lot understands that if the act of kindness is not complete, then the angels are going to end up destroying the city. So in order to prevent them from destroying the city, Lot gives up his daughters. Like that, the people will be appeased by his daughters. They won't prevent these angels from sleeping over in town. If the angels are able to stay overnight, then they can destroy Sdom. But unfortunately, the people did not accept Lot's offer, and they attacked the angels, and therefore the kindness was not complete. Therefore, the city was eventually destroyed. As I mentioned, Rav Shlomo Kluger answers in a different way why, by the saving of Lot, Hashem doesn't take in consideration the kindness that Lot did to the angels, and instead takes in consideration the fact that Lot did not disclose that Sara Imenu is the wife of Avraham Avinu to the Egyptians. The Shlomo Kluger says that the fact that Lot was kind, that is nothing new, because Lot did it as a habit. Since Lot grew up in the house of Avraham Avinu and he saw this kindness all the time, that kindness was a second nature to Lot, was a normal thing for him to do because he saw it so often, he grew up with it all the time. He did it without thinking that wasn't precious in the eyes of Hashem and wasn't important enough in order to save him. Because he's only doing it out of habit and not because he's really thinking of the kindness that he's doing to the other. But the fact that Lot did not disclose to the Egyptians that Sara Imenu was the wife of Avraham Avinu, and also if Avraham Avinu would have died, then Lot would have gotten all the wealth of Avraham Avinu, since Lot was the next of kin to Avraham Avinu, that is something that Lot had to do on his own. He decided on his own that this is the right thing to do, and for that Hashem gives him a great reward to save his life. the fact that he does things out of habit, he does things because he was always doing it this way, that is not a big deal. But the fact that he was willing to give up money in order to save Avraham Avinu, specifically, as we know that Lot always liked money, because when his servants steal from other fields, Lot doesn't prevent them from doing. There we see that Lot liked money, and here, by not disclosing that Avraham Avinu is the husband of Sarah, and having mercy that Avraham Avinu should not die, Lot is refraining from gaining the inheritance. That is something that Lot did on his own to overcome his Yetzer Hara, and that is what is precious in the eyes of Hashem. The fact that you conquered your evil inclination on your own, you're able to withstand your temptation for money, that is what Hashem values, and that is why Hashem saved Lot. I wanted to add to this Reb Shlomo Kluger that you could actually see how Lot did the chesed automatically without thinking, from the fact that he was willing to give up his daughters in order to do chesed for strangers. So you see that this chesed wasn't a chesed that he did it with his mind. It was a chesed that he did it almost second naturally, and therefore it doesn't have as much value as the fact that he did not disclose to the Egyptians that Avraham Avinu is the husband of Sarah. In Pasuk number 17, the angels tell Lot that run for your life, do not look back while you're in the valley, run to the mountain. And then in Pasuk number 26, we see that Vatabet Ishtoy Me'acharov, that Lot's wife looked in the back of him, Vatehi Netziv Melech, and she became a pillar of salt. There is two interpretations on the Medrash why she became a pillar of salt. The Medrash Rabbe on Nun Siman Dalet says that when Noah wanted to bake the matzahs, she started arguing with him and fight with him, and she didn't want to give any salt to put in the matzahs. Therefore, she became a pillar of salt. The Medrash Rabbe Nun Aleph Siman Hay says that her sin was basically that night that the angels came, she went around all the neighbors to ask for salt. The neighbor asked, why you need salt? And she said that I have guests, that I'm required to have salt. Because of that, all the neighbors found out that Lot has guests, and that caused them to come and try to break down the house. And according to what we mentioned from the Arve Nochel, that had Lot been successful, that the angels would have stayed overnight, then the decree of Rizdom would have been revoked, then we see very fitting why she became specifically a pillar of salt when she looked back as Sdom. Because she and the salt are directly responsible for the destruction of Sdom. Because had she not gone around to the neighbors and asked for salt, nobody would be aware that Lot has guests, and then the angels would have stayed overnight, and if the angels would have stayed overnight, then the decree would have been revoked. But now that she went around and asked for salt, everybody found out that Lot has guests, and therefore Sdom was destroyed. I use this reason of the Medrash Rabbe to justify and to give a reason why we have to use my machronim even nowadays. The Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis says, "Mipnei ma omru mai machronim choiva?" Why did the rabbi say that it's obligation to wash your hands after the meal, meaning that you require to wash maim achronim? The Gemara says, "Mipnei shemelach sadoim is yesh shemesames einayim," that there is sodomite salt that makes your eyes blind. The literal meaning is that since the sodomite salt is very strong salt, that if you touch the salt and then touch your eye, that will cause you to become blind. And normally you ate your food with salt. Therefore, the rabbis were afraid that if you ate your food and by mistake afterwards you touch your eye, that you are going to become blind. Therefore, the rabbis established that you require to wash your hand after your meal. Like that, any salt that was in your fingers will be washed off and you won't have the risk to blind your eye. Tosfos says that this applies only in the time of the Gemara, where people used to eat with their hands, and the sodomite salt was very common. But nowadays, since the Melach Sodomis is not as common, and since we don't dip our fingers in the food, we don't get salt in our fingers, therefore we don't have a custom to do Mayim Achronim, to wash your hands after the meal. Again, in the old days they used to cure their meat with lots of salt because they had no refrigerator, and also they used to eat with their fingers. Therefore, there was a greater risk that the salt of Sodom will get to your eye. But nowadays, since Melach Sodomis is not so common, and since we don't eat with our fingers, and also we don't salt our meat as much as they used to do in the old days, therefore, nowadays, we're not required to have Mayim Achronim. We don't have the custom to do Mayim Achronim. That is what Tosfos says in Erevin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and in other places in Shas. As a matter of fact, Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim, Kaf Pei Aleph 181, in Sif Aleph says that Mayim Achronim Chova, that Mayim Achronim is an obligation. Then in Sif Yud, he says, Yesh she'eino hagim little Mayim Achronim, there are those who don't have the custom to make Mayim Achronim, and that is based on this Tosfos, that this Tosfos says that nowadays we don't have this custom to make Mayim Achronim. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the opinion of the Vilna Gaon is that you are required to wash nowadays Mayim Achronim, because he says that the idea of Melach Sodomis, the idea of having your hands dirty, still applies nowadays, as it's written in Siman Aleph that you require as an obligation to have Mayim Achronim. And then the Mishnah Berurah brings that the Magen Avraham held in the name of Mekubalim that everybody is required to make nowadays Mayim Achronim, and the same opinion was held by the Maharshal and the Yamshut Shloime. And then he brings a Birkei Yosef, that the Birkei Yosef brings from Rav Chosid, Rav Azulai, that he wrote down that Kefia Kabbalah, that Kabbalistically, you have to be very careful on Mayim Achronim, and whoever is lenient and doesn't do Mayim Achronim, from heaven, they will be lenient with his life. Meaning that his life is going to be shortened if he doesn't take care of Mayim Achronim. Rav Kook, in his Sefer Ayin Aya, in the beginning of Brachas, gives a beautiful reason why you're required to make Mayim Achronim nowadays. And he says that the Gemara says that Mayim Achronim is because to wash away the Melach Sodomis, the Sodomite salt. And he explains that every time we eat something, we have to recreate the balance within ourselves. Meaning that we are always in a struggle between our neshama, our spiritual life, and our physical life, and our guf. Normally, we are able to make that our spirituality should overcome our physicality. But every time we eat something, we create a new war. We create a new fight between our spirituality and our physicality, because every time we eat physical food, we are increasing our physicality. That in order to overcome that physicality, we require to raise our spirituality. And he explains that that is why lechem is called bread, because lechem comes from the word lochem, war. And every time you eat lechem, you eat bread, you are lochem, you cause a new war between your spirituality and physicality. Because since you increase your physicality, then you have to make sure that you increase your spirituality. And the way you do that is by making the proper blessing on the food, like that you raise the spirituality in the food, and make the proper after bracha, the blessing after the meal, in order to raise that spirituality. Therefore, he says that the rabbis instituted that you should remember to wash away your physicality, your gashmias. Therefore, the rabbis instituted you should wash out your hand in order to push away the melach sodomis, the sodomite midas, the sodomite traits that Sodom always wanted physicality. They wanted physicality above all. That is what you have to wash away when you do your Mayim Achronim. When you wash your Mayim Achronim, you have to make sure you wash away the Melach Sodomis, any remains that remains from Sodom within yourself, any gashmis that you attain now because of the bread, you have to make sure to wash away. That's why also you make it right before you bench to make sure that you use that spirituality to wash away that physicality that was increased by your intake of physical bread. According to this idea of Rav Kook, that applies even nowadays because it has nothing to do with the actual sodomite salt that you touch. It has to do with what the sodomite salt represents, that it represents physicality, and that we have to do even nowadays, that we require to separate ourselves from our physicality or use the physicality for the service of Hashem. That applies even nowadays. And according to Rav Kook, you require to do Mayim Achronim nowadays. Based on this Rav Kook, that the Melach Sadomis doesn't necessarily represent the actual salt, represents something about that Sadom did wrong. And based on this Medrash Rabbah that explains that the reason that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt is because she went around to her neighbors asking for salt, and then people found out that they have gas, then we see that the salt in a way represents gas. I wanted to explain that the idea of Mayim Achronim and the idea of Melach Sadomis of sodomite salt is totally a different idea. Meaning that the rabbis instituted right after you finish eating your food that you are required to make sure that you don't have the Melach Sadomis, that you don't have that kind of salt that Sodom used to have. Sodom used to have a salt that wasn't able to go to any guest because Sodom did not accept any guest. The attributes of Sodom, as we mentioned, was that no guest was allowed to get any food. You couldn't have any guest. Therefore, we have to make sure after we finish eating our meal, we are satisfied that we washed away our Melach Sadomis, that we made sure that we looked around for people that need food to eat, that we make sure that our table is the way it's supposed to be, that we gave for the poor, that if people come, we'll serve them. Therefore, we're supposed to wash away our Melach Sadomis, that we shouldn't be selfish. Even though we just finished eating and we don't have that many people at the meal, we have to make sure that we are completely washing away the sodomite salt, that we looked around for guests and we're washing away the trait of Sodom that didn't let salt be served to anybody else. Shemesames enayim, that you are not turning a blind eye towards people, that you are looking to see if there's a guest. Sodom saw the people and they blinded their eyes, they made believe like they didn't see the people in need. But you have to make sure that you see the people in need. You wash away that sodomite salt that caused you not to see the people in need. Therefore, the rabbis instituted right before you go to bench to make sure that you had your food, but there are people who don't have food. You have to make sure that you don't turn a blind eye towards those people. And that is the idea of Mayim Achronim. And according to this, this idea even applies today. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should take this idea of Mayim Achronim and worry about our fellow Jew, make sure that he's well taken care of. Like that will increase love between Jewish people. And if we do that, then we counteract the reason for the destruction of the temple. We'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen.